So that, you know, the mantras, I always like to say with the mantras, you have to step towards it. It's like an energetic phenomenon. And you by stepping towards it, you make a step into something that's beyond your knowledge. It's more than knowledge. It takes you into another dimension. What I learned with the music and chanting is that it for it to enter into our soul, we have to begin from silence. It's not like, oh, I've got 5 minutes, okay, that 5 minutes could be sitting in silence waiting for the voice. You know, we don't know. But the silence is imperative. You have to, when you chant, if you're not coming from there, it will just be Coca-Cola or whatever, you know. So it needs to come from a deep place when you begin there.
It's like tuning into what's already being sung in a university, in a way. Because that's what the mantras are. They're already in the field. We just tune into them and then we utter them with our voices, our human voices.
Hallo Herz, schön, dass du eingeschaltet hast. Ich bin Nadine Gerhardt und dieser Podcast ist mein absolutes Herzensprojekt, um dich zu inspirieren auf deinem ganz individuellen Weg zu mehr Fülle, Liebe und Lebensfreude. Hallo Sonnenschein, ich wünsche dir einen ganz wundervollen neuen Wochenstart und freue mich riesig, dass du heute wieder dabei bist zu einer neuen Heiter bis Sonnig Episode. Und heute haben wir ja Montag. Montag sind immer ganz, ganz tolle Tage, zumindest für mich. Und heute startet ein neuer Kundalini-Yoga-Kurs, falls du Lust hast, heute Abend noch dabei zu sein. Denn auch da werden wir zu 100% chanten. Mantras chanten. Und das ist auch das Thema des heutigen Podcasts. Heute geht es weiter mit dem Thema feinstoffliche Energie. Und falls du die Episode von letzter Woche noch nicht gehört hast, empfehle ich dir, diese vorher anzuhören. Da geht es um Dr. Masaru Emotos Vermächtnis und die Sprache des Lebens. Und das ist ein Interview mit Akiko Stein. Und Akiko hat sehr lange mit Emoto zusammengearbeitet und leitet auch heute noch das Friedensprojekt hier im europäischen Raum von Dr. Emoto. Und sie hat letzte Woche über das Thema unter anderem Tune In, Intuition, geredet. Falls du es gehört hast, kannst du dich vielleicht noch dran erinnern. Und dementsprechend fließen diese beiden Podcast-Episoden so sehr ineinander. Und ja, heute geht's nach Costa Rica, wo Deva, Premal und Mieten zurzeit leben. Und sie haben mit über 1,5 Millionen Albumverkäufen und 1 Million monatlichen Spotify-Hörern, sie sind am Himmel des Mantra, wie sagt man denn? Am Mantra-Himmel. Sie sind die Leaders der internationalen Mantra-Szene. Und ich finde ja, alleine ihre Stimme im Interview zu hören, ist Meditation pur. It's pure love. Und wir sprechen heute über die Essenz von Mantras und darüber, was das Mantra-Chanting im Leben von Deva und Mieten bewirkt hat. Mieten spricht ganz offen über seine Herzoperation und deren transformierende Heilung. Ich war noch vor ein paar Wochen auf einem Mantra-Konzert und da sagte Shanti Mabret von Akasha zu mir: Du besingst nicht etwas im Außen, sondern einen Teil in dir, der erinnert werden möchte. Und das ist so schön in Worte ausgedrückt. Und auch Deva und Mieten finden so wundervolle Worte zu den Mantras. Mantra bedeutet, wenn du das übersetzt, das Man bedeutet Verstand und Tra, das Transzendieren. Und Wir reden unter anderem darüber, was kann Mantra-Chanting im Kollektiv bewirken? Was bedeutet das Singen von Mantras für Heilungs- und Entwicklungsprozesse? Wie finde ich mein eigenes Mantra, mein Lebensmantra? Wir sprechen über die Zeit im Ashram mit Osho, über bewusstes Atmen, über Rebirthing und darüber, ob es einen Unterschied zwischen einer Kopfstimme und einer Bauchstimme gibt. Was für eigene Rituale pflegen Deva und Milton? Und noch so viel Spannendes mehr. Es ist ein ganz, ganz tolles, bewegendes Interview, ein ganz wundervolles Herzinterview. Und ich wünsche dir jetzt ganz viel Freude mit den beiden und ja, dir einen wundervollen Tag.
Thank you so, so much that we see us here online, because offline is not working right now. So it's much more powerful to use Zoom and everything else we have online. And I would like to know, how did you how did both of you get into mantra?
Oh, that's a long story.
That's a very easy question, I know, but for sure, some of us don't know it.
Aha. Well, you don't know. It's a very amazing story, actually. I can speak for Deva for a minute here. Is that she grew up with the Gayatri Mantra. Her father had chanted it through the whole pregnancy for her. And when after she was born and during the birth, it was chanted. And then when she was growing up for the first 10 years of her life, she would chant the Gayatri Mantra every night as a little girl going to sleep. That would be her bedtime song. So the mm-hmm. Gayatri Mantra is embedded. That's why when you hear Deva chant the Gayatri Mantra, it's so amazing. It's because it's in her blood, it's in her bones, it's every, and you know, so that's how she came to, in a way, that's how we came to mantras.
Yeah, and then
we
met. And there was no mantras in my life at that point, because that's something I left behind, you know, from my childhood a little bit. But I never left the essence of the mantras behind. I never left the I think it's better not because of the sound, it just keeps, okay. You know. I don't know how the guitar picks up with it. Sometimes it cuts out with a voice. So I never left that red thread that the mantras gave me from the very beginning. I never left that behind, which was a sense of actually a sense of the divine that was accessible through meditation and through a connection to unnameable, invisible, but also very vast source, you know. So it was not so much of a Christian concept, it was more some kind of feeling of divinity all around, and also the feeling of we are here on this planet to learn and to experience, and there is reincarnation, mm-hmm. so we have another chance, you know, we get to learn and to sow seeds, you know, like the idea of karma and all that. So that never left me, but the practice of mantra left me for a few years while I found my own path. And I was with Osho, and that was when I was 11, really. And then when I was 20, we met, Mitten and I met in India, and it took another 7 years for the mantras to come back into our lives. As a gift, you know, it's as something that had been sleeping, you know, as a seed.
It's like a seed, yeah. Mm. You know, I can go right back to the 60s when I first heard mantras, right back to the Beatles, right back to Hare Krishna on the streets of London. You know, they were the first mantras I heard. I could feel, I didn't know anything about it, but, you know, and then when I came to Osho, suddenly there were hundreds and hundreds of people singing Sufi mantras and singing kirtan, you know, and African holy songs, and all these beautiful chants being sung by these people, and it was just an incredible music, and the music brought me to Osho, but the mantras, like with Davis, just stayed with me. And when Deva and I left India, when we left the ashram to come back into the West, after many, many years, we wanted to share what we'd learned in the ashram through the music and through the chanting, through the singing, through the bliss of that. So that's what we did. We left India and we just carried on with our chanting. So that, you know, the mantras, I always like to say with the mantras, you have to step towards it. It's like an energetic phenomenon. And you by stepping towards it, you make a step into something that's beyond your knowledge. It's more than knowledge. It takes you into another dimension. And, you know, that's what keeps me and Deva for 30 years hanging out together and singing, chanting together. It's all down to the mantras, you know.
Yeah. It's so, so beautiful, and also so beautiful to hear that you, you do that since years and years and years, and it gets so much deeper, right? Mm. And I would like to know, what has the mantra chanting moved in your life? And what can mantra chanting do collectively?
I mean, I don't know my life without it, so it's difficult to say, you know, it's just part of my life, and my life is so, it feels so blessed, and it feels like I feel like a sense of flow, you know, and I feel like that's when I feel that sense of flow, I feel that connection to divinity, or like being on the right track, or, you know, being supported, you know, all those feelings. So that's, and I feel that is part of, you know, being connected to the divine through mantra, through meditation, through love, connection, you know. Mm. For others, I think you said globally, or you put it collectively. Mm. You know the answer to that.
I don't know the answers. Don't ask me for an answer. But collectively, we've seen the benefit of bringing people together. Mm. In this way, even online, you know, we started after this lockdown, which we were here in Costa Rica when the lockdown happened in March last year, and we've been here ever since, in living in this house in the jungle, and with about 10 minutes to the beach, and we haven't left, and we've been here the whole time. And during that time, we met many, many people by going online daily and chanting, and it grew to thousands and thousands. And the reason I'm saying this is because so many messages came to us saying, you know, things like, I just don't know how I would have made it through the lockdown and through the isolation without you guys, and without just joining the community and singing. So we see the benefits in that way. And the beauty of the mantras is it's not just singing a campfire cowboy song, you know, it's actually their very powerful indigenous way back thousands of years before Hindu religion was even thought of. The mantras were there, the Gayatri was there, and it's come through the ages, you know. So you're in touch with some really deep healing from scientists from thousands of years ago who were exploring how sound affects the body.
So that's what it is, sound medicine. So that's why it's also, that why, like when you said collective, that's what's so beautiful, that it is a collective modality that is beyond belief and faith and understanding, you know. It's like a medicine, you know, like all over the world we take aspirin, you know. It doesn't matter if you're Hindu or Christian, or if we believe in it, or if we know how it works, or if we know who invented it, or, you know, it just does what it does. It's maybe not the greatest example, maybe I should say broccoli or something, but But that's with the mantras, you know, they work because it's pure sound that's frequency that affects our tuning fork or our radio receiver that we are, you know, the receivers that we are. And especially also when we repeat 108 times, which is the traditional number of repetitions that really fills the body and really tunes the instrument, then it's so much the stronger because it's like a, you know, wave that comes again and again and washes us clean and makes us smooth like a pebble. So I've seen it so many times and heard it so many times over all these years, how they affect and enrich people's lives, even if they have no idea what they are, what they even mean, that they are mantras or whatever, you know. I've seen it again and again.
Right. Mm. When I organize a retreat around the world, if there's no corona, and I've always sadhana or sadhana at 5 a.m. for 2 hours, and we chant a lot, and mostly these are Gurmukhi mantras, and it's so difficult, but I have a lot of beginners with me, and it's for the first time when we start at 5 a.m., it's like, oh no, oh, okay, should we really do that? But when we do this, it's amazing how they touched in their heart, and they always cry waterfalls. It's always like this, and it's amazing to see that, to feel that, and how important it is. And sure, they are always asking, okay, because I don't know Gurmukhi mantras. You chant a lot of Sanskrit mantras, also Gurmukhi mantras. Mm-hmm. How important is this, like you said, this language, this art of language? Because we can also chant like German or English mantras. You also do that. How important is this language?
It's a really good question. And I just had a talk with somebody, with Sikh friends of ours who chant in Gurmukhi. And we were talking about this because, you know, it is said that Sanskrit, which is what we chant in, is the mother language or the, you know. So, and Gurmukhi sounds like it does come from Sanskrit. I mean, there's words that are sounding pretty similar. It also sounds very different, but I mean, there's Gobinde or Govinda, or, you know, there's Hari or Har, or, you know, so there's definitely connection.
Guru.
Hmm? Also, guru. So I feel, I don't know, I don't like to say, oh, this is more potent than the other. I don't really know. But for personally, I just, those Sanskrit sounds feel very comfortable in my mouth. You know, I can say them easily and they feel natural to me. And Gurmukhi so far hasn't so much, but that's my own, you know. So I don't know, did you hear Rain of Blessings that we just released last 2 weeks ago?
Yes, I heard it. Yes, I also showed my community online in on Facebook, and no, not on Facebook, Instagram. Yes,
yeah,
it's so beautiful. Yes,
so beautiful. No, so
yes,
that's,
it is.
They come into our lives, the Gurmukhi mantras, when we are ready.
Art Gure was another example. Yeah. You know, that was way back when we first were friends with Sanatan, and. Art Gure was just one of those beautiful pieces, and Deva asked if she could sing it, and Sanatan gave her blessings to us so we could chant Art Gure, which is, it's been with us ever since. It's an invocation to bring our teachers into the gathering. What a beautiful thing. What a beautiful thing. And as we sing it, everybody consciously begins to bring in their teachers. So we begin usually in concerts with that, just to bring all our spirit teachers into the gathering with us, to benefit all of us as we move through our journey with the music, you know. Very beautiful.
Mm.
Absolutely. You said it a little bit. How do you inspire people to get into certain states by chanting mantras? Is it important to chant it very long, or is it also good to chant a mantra like for 3 minutes? Or, and how important is to chant the words very exactly?
That's a beautiful question. Actually, you know, when I sing the mantra or chant the mantra Om three times, it's already all changed within me. Like the whole landscape has become peaceful and grounded and silent, you know, so it often doesn't even take very long. So I think rather than saying, oh, I don't have an hour, I've only 5 minutes, use the 5 minutes, you know. I mean, we
just to jump in there also, you know, what I learned with the music and chanting is that it for it to enter into our soul, we have to begin from silence. Mm. It's not like, oh, I've got 5 minutes, okay, oh, you know, that 5 minutes could be sitting in silence waiting for the voice. Mm. You know, we don't know, but the silence is imperative. You have to, when you chant, if you're not coming from there, it will just be Coca-Cola or whatever, you know. So it needs to come from a deep place when you begin there.
That's like tuning into what's already being sung in a university, mm. in a way. We just, because that's what the mantras are, they're already in the field. We just tune into them and then we utter them with our voices, our human voices. And that's where this other, your other question comes in about the pronunciation. I think also both is true. It's really good to try to be as perfect as we can with our pronunciation, and it's really difficult because I think there are 50 sounds in Sanskrit, 50 sounds in the Sanskrit alphabet, which are not so easy for Westerners to replicate properly. But let's try, you know, let's try. And and you know, because it is about where the tongue hits the roof of the mouth, and you know, and to make those connections, those nerve connections, and all that. But I, you know, we've noticed that they work anyway, even if people chant with an English accent or
Australian accent.
You know, so I always have to bring this. This example from the Tibetans, you know, we chanted with Tibetans and they pronounce the mantras of Sanskrit so differently in my view, in my ears. Words sound completely different, the same word, and it's that's perfectly divinely correct, you know. So
that was interesting actually, because when we did this album, David did this album with the Tibetan Gutu monks from Dharamsala, from their monastery there, and they were chanting, and David asked them, what is that Tibetan, your language? And they said, no, it's just Sanskrit. So the words changed, the sound of the words changed. So who's to say that that if it's a Tibetan accent, it's any better or any worse than an Australian accent chanting the mantra? So then it comes down to intention. It's got something to do with intention again, coming from a space of silence, moving into your understanding of what this mantra is, and trusting God, you know. And that's really, you know.
It's a devotional practice. So
For us, David, we're not like pundits, you know, we're not teachers of mantras. We carry them and we're messengers, but neither of us can call ourselves scholars, you know, but we've learned on our life and during this thing, this journey that we're on, and we've been blessed to, you know, to have been received by so many people and so much love, and we can only put it down to the mantras, you know. I mean, we also have the songs, which is it's for me it's very essential because that's me, and I write songs. But what I like is that there's a kind of a It represents itself as a kind of male-female energetic pulse between me and Deva, and it's very essential. And at the same time, we meet where there's no male or female, with our voices in the music and in the chant. We meet there. So that's our tantric experience. It's the same as in the bedroom, you know, you meet in that place, and that's how we go about our life somehow. We've just been blessed to be able to do it. And the songs speak my heart also, you know, apart from the mantras. When we met, Deva wasn't a singer, she wasn't singing. She came into this music. I helped her in. It was a way of me being able to give back to the gift of meeting Deva with his voice that felt like a small flower that was budding, but it hadn't blossomed. And that's how we met in the ashram. And, you know, slowly we could bring her into finding this beautiful voice. And there the mantras and Deva just became wings for our relationship and for our everything. They become wings, and we just see where the great eagle is going to take us next. We're just hanging on top.
It's so wonderful to hear that with the wings. That's so beautiful to hear that. And I would like to know, what does the chanting of mantras mean for healing or development processes? Or do you have like a very touched story you hear from maybe your community, someone of your community, which touched you most?
We have hundreds.
I'm sure you have.
There are so many ones that just make you cry. Mm-hmm. So many beautiful, beautiful, beautiful people opening their hearts to us and sharing how in the most intense moment of their life, there we were with the mantra. And it's incredible how these mantras have supported many, many of us.
I think the strongest one, and it's not just once, is really somebody who said, I was about to take up my own life. You know, I was suicidal. There was nothing in my life that brought me joy, or I couldn't see any light anywhere. And specifically one, I remember she was in that moment in her life, like totally bleak, no joy. And she was gifted a massage session by somebody, and she went and they put on the Gayatri mantra during a massage session, and she'd never heard of mantras before. She had, and literally the light went on, or at least enough light to see something, you know, and to know that there is a pathway for her. And she learned the words of the Gayatri mantra so fast, although she comes from a, you know, Christian American background with no relationship to that sound. And then actually she learned the Hanuman Chalisa in a flash, which is a long, 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 you know, text to memorize. And so she just has these two entities, sound entities with her, and she, in her life is really transformed. And for me, when we get messages like that, it feels like, okay, if we just sang for her, or we just recorded the essence for her, our life would have had some kind of meaning, you know. It's so touching. And it's not just once, it's incredible. Our friend, she just told me she was she had an accident in Greece, and there was a whole terrible day of waiting for taxi and not, you know, like being cold and in such pain. She had broken her hip actually. And then in the end, she had to go in the MRI machine, and she was so cold, so empty, so exhausted. And to go into this tunnel, you know, where nothing, where it's cold, where it's loud, where it's claustrophobic. And she thought, okay, now it has to come out of me. I'm not going to find it outside. And she could really feel how the she had charged her inner world with the Gayatri mantra so much that it was this well of energy that she could tap into. And it was the seven chakra Gayatri mantra, and she just something opened up inside her that was something that she could, you know, actually almost not enjoy maybe, but she could live through that experience held by the Gayatri mantra, you know.
She relaxed, basically. Yeah. Just tapped her.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Gayatri is totally, it's a phenomenon. I mean, even, you know, first-hand experience, I was pretty ill once. I had an open heart surgery a few years back. And I was going through the rebirth process a week or two after the operation. And that rebirthing and dealing with the trauma of the what the body had experienced, I was spending a week just shaking the body trauma out, shaking and trembling and holding, covering myself up. And and I felt like it was a rebirth happening, and it was kind of a climax one night. I couldn't sleep all night, and I was cathartic, and I was really at the end of, you know, this thing not being able to sleep. And Deva was amazed. She just held me in her energy field, like all through the night, and let me just rave, you know. And then it came close to dawn, and I realized I hadn't given myself my own medicine. And I asked Deva, put the Gayatri mantra on. The seven chakra Gayatri mantra, we just recorded it. It was an amazing moment. As soon as her voice came, as soon as that music began, as soon as her voice came, I started to breathe and relax. And we cuddled up on the bed. And after a terrible, terrible night, we fell asleep to the Gayatri mantra. And when we woke up a few hours later, the sun was pouring into the room. And I realized that was my birth. That was my rebirth. And I felt like at that moment I was reborn to the sound of the Gayatri mantra.
So you were born to
Yeah, it's amazing. Last week I had an interview with two women, and one came from Kundalini Yoga, and she was 2004 in the tsunami, and she was on a tree and like this, holding on the tree, and she chanted the Adgurenami, the mantra of protection, and this helped her through it, yeah, to go through it. Yeah. And it's amazing when she talked about it, I got goosebumps, because it's so helpful. And yeah, it's a healing, right?
Yeah, it'd be amazing if, you know, the rock stars, imagine if Bruce Springsteen was just singing mantras. Can you imagine? You know, because they, you know, it's like they have so much power and so much heart. Like, imagine if Sting was just chanting mantras. Imagine if Lady Gaga was just chanting mantras, you know. Wouldn't that be amazing? And in a way, that was our connection with the Gayatri, again, with Cher. You know, Cher, the musician, rock musician, the film actress, she asked our permission to chant the Gayatri mantra. And in her tour, and you can see her on YouTube chanting the Gayatri mantra. And they invited us to a concert, and we, you know, because of we made the Gayatri mantra available, and it was incredible. She had a, you know, amazing rock ensemble. She had backing singers, and they pumped the Gayatri mantra right out into this stadium, and nobody really knew, you know, but Cher did. And we did, and me and Deva and me were in tears. It was so powerful, just going out into that auditorium, the Gayatri mantra, you know. It's like, what is that, you know? So it was beautiful to see that. And Cher, you know, she made it Cher. she did it very showbiz, Las Vegas and everything, but still you can't argue with the chant itself, you know.
Yes. How important is it to have a life mantra? So for sure you have the Gayatri mantra, but how important it is?
Do you mean like to have your own personal mantra?
Yes.
Yes. I don't know. I would just trust, you know, the flow again. Like if one mantra comes to you, either it's given to you by a guru, or you feel strongly connected to one and you want to make that your mantra, I would trust it. But I wouldn't get stressed out about not finding my own mantra, you know, like, oh God, is this the right one or not, or, you know, because they are all, in the end, they all lead us to the same space anyway. That's what I feel like. Of course, there are different pathways and different chakras that get activated and different body parts and different metaphysical aspects of our being. But in the end, we land in oneness and in silence and in nothingness and in, you know, in peace.
It leads you to the question, you know, what would it be like to look for a mantra? How do I even do that? You know, it's something that you're blessed with, but, you know, that's how they originally, you know, but now, like we all know, we can access mantras on the internet. So it's not so difficult now, but it's interesting to look. We found, and we encourage people, like some of the albums we made were just purely for mantra practice. There are two or three albums like that, and where we give the exact understanding of what the mantra is and the sound, and Deva chants it without music, 108 cycles. So you can do some research. Oh, this mantra feels comfortable in my body. Oh, what is it? Oh, it's for removing energetic blocks from life, you know, whenever my beloved and I chant this mantra, it's for sacred lovemaking, you know. And so it becomes part of your life in that way. And it's interesting then to look, because once you do find your mantra, I can speak from experience now, it's going to be with you right up until your last breath. And it's like the best possible friend that you could hope for, you know. And it's available. Yeah. You have to look. Sometimes you have to look. You have to commit, right? Like during your yoga, you come to a point where you had to commit and really learn what it was and follow what your heart was telling you to do. And that commitment is creativity in action. So if you start to move in that way with intention, you'll find your mantra. You know.
Yeah, wonderful. What is your daily spiritual practice? That's a community question, because I ask it my community, what do you want to know?
Spiritual practice, making coffee.
We're sure we are all, yes, everything is spiritual, but she's asking about, do you grounding or cleaning or with it work with healing energies a different ways, centering on the heart center, mm-hmm. something like this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a very fluid daily practice. It's not very set in stone, and it actually involves, like you said, everything is spiritual. It actually involves my whole, all my activity, you know, because I feel the way I think if you saw me from the outside, you would say, oh, I work all day long. You know, it looks like work, most probably, which includes everything. And I enjoy everything. And so I feel very, very nourished by it. So for me, like, you know, cleaning is for me also meditation, and it just brings me joy. And for me, meditation is doing, or being in joy, being in the moment, And then mantras, they come in for different, you know, different parts, like cooking or like before a meal or before sleeping, or, you know, they find their way in the flow. So that I would say is my life practice. And
that includes some physical, you know, physical stretches and exercises and different we learned some pretty amazing practices way back in Osho's ashram in the 70s and 80s, and we still teach them in all our workshops. They're called divine healing exercises. That's what they were called, Osho's divine healing exercises. And we, you know, now we have our own Gayatri Sangha app. We have a room within the app. It's called like a silent room, where people, all of us, can go. And our concept was that there would always be somebody in there holding the space in silence. So you could go in there day or night, and you could just sit in silence with whoever across the planet was sitting in silence at the same time as you. So feel that support energy from, you know, you're not just alone, you know, you're not isolated, you know. In these times, you need that. We all need to feel connection somehow, somewhere. And that was our intention with doing our app, that people could meet there out of Facebook, out of Instagram.
And for us to, you know, be able to meditate with everybody, exactly, you know, that. Like, it is so uplifting to feel, you know, for us to sit in silence and be connected to. It is amazing how tangible it is, even though it's virtual. And in some ways you think it's just the mind, but actually you really feel a sense of community, even in silence, even if you don't see them or don't see them on Zoom or something. So for me, the app is really also personally a very uplifting part of my life now, you know, just that sense of love and connection. And that's really I feel like Osho always talked about, you know, some people are on the path of meditation, some people are on the path of love. And, you know, both lead to the same space. And definitely mine is of love, you know, being given the name Deva Pramal, which means loving. And so for me that's the most uplifting, and that's why I chant mantra, because I feel that love and that connection when I chant, you know. I've had phases where I did a silent meditation every day, but somehow it doesn't stick, you know. It's not something I've done all 40 years of my spiritual path. But all the 40 years of my spiritual path, I've been in the sense of celebration and devotion through singing and sound, and that incredible, beautiful feeling that the singing and the chanting leaves in the body. And then I meditate so easily, you know. Then it's just like, wow, now I can sit forever in silence, you know. So for me, that's my nourishment.
Your nourishment. And, you know, if we were to say what our basic practice is, it's singing. Mm. Every day, more or less, probably almost every day, we've sung with each other at some point, even if it's just getting on a plane or something. But our singing is, and again, you know, songs are there, they carry so much. And like David says, the singing takes her into meditation, you know. For us, it's like whenever we sit down with this, we come to the core, the silent moment in our lives, in our day-to-day lives, when we're connected through what really, really matters. And for me, that's so important, that it nourishes us as a couple still. It nourishes our our friendship, it nourishes our connection, you know, and our awesomeness. When I get told, well, this is a great song and you sound great, and I say to her, listen, you sound amazing today, you know, and there's a whole energy flow between us, you know. We're very blessed in it. Yeah.
Just like you.
Just like you. For everybody.
Yes, thank you. I have a question from a singer. I know she's a singer, and she was asking if there's a difference between a head voice and a stomach voice. Because in Kundalini Yoga, we always say like chant from your navel point. So chant from the deeper way, right? Do you know that?
I mean, there's a totally the big difference, you know, where you feel your voice. And for me personally, I enjoy more being in the lower ranges, like for example, for chanting, you know, just feels more resonant inside of me. And I feel it's, you know, but when we sing the mantras, then we use all the whole ladder of frequency. And that's beautiful too. But I tend to be more at home with the lower.
Where do you breathe? Where do you breathe? In your belly or?
I mean, when you sing, you don't breathe in your belly. You just breathe very fast to get the air.
Interesting. I mean, because it's the breath, you know, the mantras are audible breath. They're our breath. It's our life force is our breath, and the mantras are the excuse to breathe. So it is important where we breathe from. Deva is just so natural with everything. It's not something she's never thought, where do I breathe from? It doesn't, yes. It was just like she just can do this thing, you know.
Just doing it, right?
Yeah, just happening, yeah.
Yes, you know. Just doing
and
it.
With me, I have to, and now as I get older, I have to be much more conscious of my breathing than I was when I was a younger man. I have to be much more conscious when I'm taking a breath. And I try and help people also to be conscious of their breath in the chant. So we all start breathing consciously in the same rhythm, you know. Because we're talking to people all over the world. It's not like talking to people in a concert hall somewhere. We're scattered like little balls of light, energy, you know, all over the world. And when we breathe together, when we chant together, magic happens. That's it. That's all we can do. Whether we breathe or not, or whether we die or not, we just keep doing it.
It'd be beautiful to end our time together with Shanti Shanti, and then we could just have a silence, and because that's really how we like to end. It's just in silence, you know.
Could I ask you a very last question?
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, it's very interesting to know, maybe you know that, because you live in Costa Rica right now with a lot of animals around you, like wild animals and everything. Mm-hmm. What is your experience with animals and nature? How do animals and nature react to mantras or the sound of a gong or other stuff you use, like a guitar? Do you know that? Do you can feel that?
No, I can't really say. I don't know. You know, when we do our weekly meditation here, we often comment that the birds, there seem to be more birds sitting in the trees singing with us while we're chanting. I don't know if it's true or not, but I like when we sit in silence to hear the nature around.
The geckos, the geckos are amazing. They seem to make their sound that like right at the end of a song, or right like at very, very tuned in moments. Oh, they're really with us, but you know, you don't know. In some ways, I think we are not important in their lives. You know, they don't even really, you know, care that much about us, you know. And on the other hand, I'm sure they feel us and they are totally connected. And but we're all doing our thing. So
I do feel that, though. I do feel when we play and sing out here, I feel like there's some just good energy coming from us that the animals feel and know. I feel that. But, you know, sometimes the monkeys are here when we do our meditation and I'm playing the guitar, so we stop singing and I just play the guitar so the monkeys can have a solo with the music, and then it's making
wonderful.
It's so beautiful here. It's very beautiful to be in nature like this. Incredible healing. It's very beautiful.
Thank you for sharing.
Okay.
Yes, let's end with a beautiful mantra or like
we'll do one round of the Gayatri, shall we? Be so nice.
And I think it just be beautiful to have a great moment of silence.
A moment of silence.
Purnamasva Tatsaviturvarinya Ergo Dimasya Vimahi Viyuyo na Pachodaya Urvasva Tatsaviturva Argo Devasya Dimahi Viyuyoma Pracho
Okay. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you so, so much.
Nice to
meet you. Such beautiful energy. It's pure love, unconditional love. Thank you so, so much.
Thank you. You keep shining your light.
Mal wieder bin ich zutiefst dankbar für solch tolle Interviewgäste, die so aus dem Herzen heraus sprechen, schwingen, singen, chanten. Und ich hoffe, dass die Energie auch bei dir angekommen ist, dass auch du sie spüren kannst und dass du wieder ganz viel mitnehmen konntest. Ich bin ein riesiger Fan von Devia Primal und Meeten. Ich war schon sehr oft auf ihren Konzerten und es ist immer wieder berührend, immer wieder laufen wir Tränen und ich kann dir immer nur auch dazu raten, wirklich, vor allen Dingen, auch wenn es dir nicht gut geht und auch vor allen Dingen in den Zeiten, wo es dir gut geht, denn da glauben wir bräuchten das nicht. So wie auch Meeten schon gesagt hat, jeden Tag chanten, jeden Tag. Das sind die Rituale und wenn du sie noch mit Bewusstsein bespielst, dann machst du deiner Seele ein riesen Geschenk dafür, damit. Ich verlinke dir alles von Deva Primal und Mieten in den Shownotes. Du findest auch ihr Buch, du findest ihre Website, die Kontaktdaten von Social Media. Ich habe dir noch eine Empfehlung auch von mir reingesetzt. Und zwar ist es ein Film, der heißt Mantra. Und der ist auch so, so schön. Und auch dort wirst du unter anderem Deva Primal und Mieten treffen. Du wirst Sanatam Kaur treffen und. Viele eben aus der Mantra-Szene. Und ja, ich wünsche dir jetzt ganz viel Freude mit deinem Tag, mit deinem Abend. Und vielleicht sehen wir uns heute Abend noch beim Kundalini-Yoga. Wer weiß, wer weiß. Oder morgen früh um 6.30 Uhr. Und ja, schön, dass du heute hier wieder mit in dieser Energie schwingst. Namaste und Satnam, deine Nadine.